there's moonbeams in your elbows, and there's rivers in your head. And I wanna see you forever, babe, forever. Don't take me back in time now, but there's nothing for me there.
Welcome to On the Wing podcast presented by Purina Pro Plan. All right, we're in December now, and we're starting to hit that intersection of hunting season, the holidays, and wild game feasts. So I'm excited to deliver the first of a two-part set of snackable, shorter podcasts focused on a recipe. Each one of these podcasts is going to be a recipe from Quail Forever Journal editor Ryan Sparks, paired with Apostolacqua and Quail Forever collab wine. Up first on today's episode, Ryan is going to walk us through a savory pheasant dish paired with Apostolacqua's Quail Forever white Fiano wine, and that recipe is pretzel crusted pheasant cutlets with apple cream sauce and spezzo. Sounds awesome. We're going to dive deep into how to create that terrific recipe. And if you're looking at social media and see the photos, I'm sure your mouth is watering because I got the photo right up in front of me too. Before we get rolling, I want to thank once again Purina Pro Plan, the national dog food sponsor of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, and the presenting sponsor of On the Wing podcast. My pups have always eaten Purina Pro Plan, not just because Purina supports the wildlife habitat conservation mission of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, which is incredibly important to me and it should be important to you as well, but the most important element of Purina Pro Plan is that they have the team of the world's best scientists and nutritionists behind their dog food. ProPlan was created for the working bird dog like yours and like mine. You can learn more at ProPlansport.com. Ryan, thanks for not only joining me, but for giving me some terrific inspiration as we dive into these two podcasts for wild game feasts around the holidays. I've always held Meredith and I, my wife, have always held sort of a pheasant feast is what we called it. And doesn't mean it's exclusively pheasant. It's just pheasant and grouse and quail and venison around the holidays. Do you do something like that as well?
Yeah, we'll mix in some wild game. You know, we have some people every once in a while in our family that are a little, they want to keep the wild game at an arm's length. I don't know why, but so we'll mix it in along with some more traditional stuff for the holidays too.
We started it pheasant feast when we were dating, Meredith and I, and it was partly to introduce some people that wanted to keep wild game at arm's length. They weren't like some friends of ours that weren't real. They were a little nervous, you know, they're maybe curious, but nervous about the flavors and, you know, being able to create like 12 different dishes, you know, from very mild, like pheasant dishes and rough grouse to, you know, a little bit gamier sharp tails or woodcock, so they could sort of progress throughout the evening. And the wine flowed, you know, you get a little bit more adventurous as the wine goes down. And it's funny, after a couple of years, you know, we always had a vote at the end, like what was the favorite dish. And after a couple of years, it became the woodcock and the sharp tail, the more
it's funny how that
bold
happens,
flavors are what people really enjoy.
Yeah, we recently did a big dinner with my friends and family, people that helped us move back to Nebraska, and we did a bunch of different meats, but it was funny, the ones that were kind of the hit across the board was the venison loin and the, you know, all the wild game ones across, even with the people, like my mom, typically she doesn't want anything to do with deer. And her favorite thing of the whole night was the deer that we grilled and did a little balsamic glaze on the top of it. And it's fun.
Yeah, I love that. It celebrates the hunt and you relive memories. And
yep.
Speaking of reliving memories, another thing that I think you and I share is when you put a bird in the freezer, I know carp does this too, kind of marks on his mm-hmm. freezer bag where that bird came from. And as I pull a bird out of the freezer, I think back to the day where that bird was taken, what the dog did. As we approach the beginning of your recipe here for pretzel crusted pheasant cutlets, do you have a story to tell about the pheasant that was used as the inspiration for this recipe?
Yeah, so you're right. I do when I can. It's not always feasible, but when I can, I like to label my bags with kind of as much detail as I can, just shorthand where it was at, the date. Sometimes I'll put, if there was something memorable about it, I'll kind of sketch that on the vacuum seal bag. And the reason I do that is because when we sit down to dinner, you know, we say a little prayer. And then after that, I like to just kind of like remember the hunt. Like it's so cool to say this was, the story of this bird, you know, it was on my family's ranch in South Dakota and it was with my dad. And we had just gotten the first snowfall of our trip while we were there in December. So it was kind of a late season hunt. We were about halfway down this fence line and up goes a pheasant and my dad shot it. And great memory. It's fun to be able to tell those stories at the table. And sometimes you're eating with the people that you were hunting with and like, oh, I remember that bird now.
So, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That's one of the, it enriches the meal. It deepens the connection to...
Brings it full circle.
Absolutely, it does. You think about the place and the people and the dogs, and it enriches that flavor, every single element of the flavor. All right, we're going to talk about this dish. Want to also thank Onyx, a proud partner of On the Wing podcast. Also a proud partner of our PATH program, Public Access to Habitat program, which has already opened up 100,000 acres of high-quality habitat on private lands in South Dakota and Nebraska. New this year in North Dakota, Oklahoma, and in Michigan, Onyx is helping to make a real boots-on-the-ground impact for all of us as bird hunters. If you want the best tool in your vest and you want to help support the mission of creating public access, use the code PFQF at the Onyx link in the show notes. You'll get 20% off your Onyx membership, and Onyx will make a donation back to our habitat mission. All right. We are going to talk about pretzel crusted pheasant cutlets with apple cream sauce and spätzle.
It's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. It's
also delicious.
It looks delicious. It screams Oktoberfest. You know, next to, we're going to talk about wine pairing. It also feels like you got to have a pint of beer, you know, maybe a nice German beer next to it. It just feels like autumn. So tell me about the inspiration for this dish.
Well, you kind of hit it. It's like peak fall. I was wanting, you know, a cutlet. You think fall, I think, you know, pretzels and apples. And my wife had just got back from the orchard down here that's got some apples. And so we had some fresh apples and pheasant.
Mm.
So if anybody's not familiar with what spätzle is, it's basically like little tiny German dumplings. And they come together really quickly. And they're very easy to make. The only hurdle, I would say, to making them is that you can do it without a spätzle maker, but I would really suggest getting one. They're like $10 online, and they make it so much easier. I tried to make these when I was in college without one, and just you can try to get by with a colander and kind of pour your, it's like a batter through the colander and let it drip down into the boiling water, but you just make a huge mess. So I would recommend picking one of those up. And if you've never had spätzle, it's like having never eaten pasta before or something. You're like, it's like a whole, never having rice. It's like a whole nother, starch to go with your protein if you've never had it before. And I love them. So you can either start by making your pheasant cutlets, or you can start by making your spätzle. It doesn't really matter which one. If you make the cutlets first, I like to throw them in a warmed oven just to keep them warm while you do everything else. Make the spätzle first, you just kind of keep that on a burner on low, or you could also put it in the oven on low. But here I started with the cutlets, which is just pheasant breasts. You could use as many pheasants as you want and scale this up or down. I used, you know, two pheasants, so I got four breasts off of them. You just start by kind of pounding those breasts thin so that they fry up evenly. You don't have the big lobe end and the narrower end. So you just get them flat.
You use a meat mallet?
Yeah, I do. I've got a, it's got a, it's can unscrew. It's heavy. The head unscrews and one side it's got teeth and one side it's flat. And
yeah,
for something
that's
what like
I
this,
have too.
For something like this, I like to use the flat side, because it you know, pheasant's pretty tender. If you know, you don't like have to like really whap it because it'll just tear up the breast. You just want to like lightly tap, like you're knocking on a door or something like that.
Hank Shaw taught me how to use a meat mallet, and he always put saran wrap over over the meat, and then you tap on the saran wrap so it doesn't rip apart the bird.
Yeah, that's a great tip. That's a great tip. You know, a piece of parchment paper would also work, you know, whatever you've got. So then you've got your, you know, your pheasant cutlets in this case where they're thin. And then I sort of set up a breading station. So I have, you know, a little flat dish with flour in it. And then next to that, a little flat dish with, some beaten eggs with a little splash of milk in there to thin them out. And then finally, and kind of one of the secrets to this recipe, not really a secret, but what makes it really good is the pretzels. And you can use any pretzel. I've actually used the, for a different recipe, the Dots pretzels crushed up and breaded. That's
the North
Dakota
pretzel.
Yeah. Which would go great with pheasant as well. But for this one, I really like the, their pretzel chips or crisps. They're, I don't know if you've seen them. They're really thin. They're like made for like dipping and stuff like that. But, you know, you can either throw them in a blender, food processor, blitz them up into, you know, sort of a, not like really fine breadcrumb, but kind of a nice chunky. I mean, look at the photo. You can tell kind of the size of what the, I blitzed them up into. Or you could just put them in a plastic bag and just hit it with your fist and, or and you know, break it up with your hands.
It, it definitely reminds me of, I've seen recipes with fish, you know, with cornflakes or different cereals that are battered like this, a very similar presentation.
Yeah, the way that they, so the way that they're flat, the way that they kind of stick on the cutlet and jut out at different angles, it just keeps it really crispy and that crunch comes through and that, that pretzel kind of yeasty taste stays with it too through the frying.
Nice.
So, it's really nice. Then you can just, so you got your cutlets breaded and then you just fry them. You can, I fried them in canola oil. You could use peanut oil. You know, my grandmother fried everything in lard. I still like to fry things in lard every once in a while, especially a fish fry. This would be fantastic. Fry it in lard until they, and you know, you fry them until they get to that nice, like golden, crispy cutlet color that, that you want. And then I just transfer them either to a plate lined with paper towels. Or you could put it on a baking dish with a wire rack, and that'll help help the cutlets from steaming and keep them nice and crispy. Then just pop them in the oven on just a warm setting, and they'll actually stay nice and crispy for a long time. You don't have to rush through this recipe at all. You know, then ideally you've got your spatzle, which in this case spatzle is just it's flour. I'd like to put some fresh nutmeg in mine, a couple eggs, some cream, some buttermilk, some salt. That's it. You kind of mix that up. It'll be, I like to think of it like the texture of the batter will be like a little bit thicker than melted ice cream. And then I load that, you get a pot of water boiling and that spatzle maker actually like almost clamps on the top of your pot. You put that in there, and then the spatzle maker has like a little hopper that slides back across it, and the dough drops down through there, and then it cooks very quickly. Basically, as soon as it starts to float, I'll take a take a strainer or a slotted spoon and scoop them out and put them into a little like a glass bowl in case you can need to transfer it to the oven to keep it warm, and then just working in batches until you have all your spatzle made. That's it. I do like to toss a little butter in with the spatzle and whip it. It keeps it from sticking, and it's also butter, so that's not going to suck.
Butter, lard, this is like a health food recipe,
I'm not
right?
afraid of fat.
Yeah, this is
some
wonderful.
Healthy fats, some
comfort
healthy
food is what they say.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's the finished dish is rich, but it's not like crazy over the top rich. Like it's a, I don't know. You feel good after you eat it. You don't feel like, oh, I just ate like a ton of just fried dough or something, you know?
Not a gut bomb.
No, not a gut bomb. And there's some fruit in it, which is the apple cream sauce. So, you know, that's just, when I fry my cutlets, I'll leave like just enough to leave a little sheen of oil at the bottom of that cast iron pan, which is what I like to fry in.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in a little butter. I minced up a shallot for this recipe. You could totally just use a small onion. You just don't want to have too much of it. So maybe like, you know, a quarter of a small onion. Shallots are very small. You could also use a little bit of a red onion if you wanted to. We had some Evercrisp apples. But you don't want something that's like, you don't want like a mealy apple or a super sweet soft apple. You want kind of a, you know, an apple that when you bite into it, it really has like a crunch and a.
Okay, that was going to be one of my questions. You want an eating apple, not a pie apple, essentially.
Because when
like
you
a
cook
honey
it, it
crisp.
Just, yeah, Honey Crisp would be great. You know, you could use like a Granny Smith. You know, I would lean more towards like the Honey Crisp. Ours is the Evercrisp are a little bit more dense than a Honey Crisp. But you want that denseness so it just doesn't turn to mush when you cook it. You know, you want it to have a little bit of structure. I throw those in and cook them. And then some fresh thyme. You could also use dried thyme. Just use a little bit less dried thyme than you would the fresh variety. Then you can put in, I make my own stock out of all the wild game that I hunt. And I think we'll probably get more into the stock making process on our next snackable podcast, so people should tune in for that. You could also just use chicken stock. I use my pheasant stock. I think that homemade stock and having pheasant stock in a sauce that's going on pheasant just builds those layers of that awesome pheasant flavor.
Yeah.
You're gonna let that you're gonna kind of like deglaze the pan with that stock and then just let that thing rip and reduce and reduce and reduce and reduce by about half. And then you're going to put in some heavy cream. I throw in some Dijon mustard and then just a little bit of apple cider vinegar or lemon juice. And that just kind of like gives it a brightness or an acidity. There's only like a teaspoon in there. So it's not like it's going to taste like vinegar. Honestly, you probably wouldn't notice it's there, but we've made it again since, and I forgot to put the cider vinegar in at the end. And my wife was like, there's something just a little different. And we went and splashed it in. We're like, oh yeah, there it is. You know, taste it for salt and pepper. And then, as people can see in the photo, you know, I just, slice some apple real thin and put that on top. So you have that fresh apple with the cooked apple. And, that's a hell of a fall meal to celebrate a pheasant in fall, for sure.
Yeah. It looks absolutely fabulous. Point people towards the photo of it that we're displaying on social media. The final element is what we wash it down with, and
maybe what we drink while we're cooking it too.
Well, yeah, you could maybe a two bottle recipe. Thanks to Passalacqua, now available for the holidays. There's a special Quail Forever and Passalacqua wine pair wild gift pack available. It includes both Quail Forever Collaborative wines, the white and the red, a set of Yeti wine tumblers, an Onyx premium membership, and the recipe cards for both of the snackable podcasts. This pretzel-crusted pheasant cutlets with apple cream sauce and spätzle, and our next podcast coming up, quail and red wine and mushroom sauce. Recipe cards for both of these are part of the Passalacqua holiday pack. A limited number of these holiday gift packs are available at Passalacqua with two S's, passalacquawinery.com/quail-forever. Price is $150, and get in there before they run out. You can order your bottles of Quail Forever White and Quail Forever Red in time for the holidays. All right. This recipe, pretzel-crusted pheasant cutlets and apple with apple cream sauce, is paired with what, Ryan?
That would be with our Passalacqua Quail Forever Fiano, which is a very, very good pairing with this, I would say, for a couple reasons. One, the spatzel and the pheasant cutlet are, you know, it's a fried cutlet, so it's rich. It's got a little bit of, I mean, pheasant's not fatty, but just the frying process is, you know, there's a little bit of fattiness to it. There's butter and cream and buttermilk in the spatzel. And so it is a rich dish. And I think the Fiano, you know, there's a couple ways you can pair wine, and it would be, you can contrast the flavor of what you're eating it with, which would, I would say, what we're doing in this dish, or you could complement it or match it, which is what I would say we're going to do on the next podcast with the red. So this is really nice because you take a couple bites of the pheasant cutlet, the spatzel, and then you take a sip of the Fiano. It kind of, you know, it has like a bright acidity to it, and it kind
it's
of
almost like
cleanses
a palate
your palate.
Cleanser.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And also, it's not like a Chardonnay or a Sauvignon Blanc. A lot of times they're lighter bodied, where the Fiano has a little bit more body to it, and it's nice, and it holds up to that cutlet. I just think it is a great pairing. I'm like drooling right now just thinking about it.
I got both bottles, right? The red and the white. And then I went back and I ordered six more of the white. I like the red, but the white, the Fiano is just fabulous.
They're both really great. And Fiano is a kind of a unique variety that people probably haven't heard of Fiano. I know I hadn't until I was introduced to Passalacquas. And now it's like, when we're having a white wine, I'm like, with dinner, I'm like, go grab the Fiano. It's like
one of my favorite
new white wines.
I believe they made significantly less of the white versus the red. So if they try this and they like it, get on the stick, because that one's the one that's going to sell out the fastest.
Yeah, it's great. And the artwork on the bottle's great. It makes a great gift. I've given it to a few people and I've only heard, you know, positive things back, both about the wine, and a lot of people are just keeping the bottles and, you know, stick some pheasant feathers in the top, make a little feather bouquet, you know?
Well, yeah, it's a fabulous recipe, and it pairs terrifically with Passalacqua's Fiano. Thanks once again to Passalacqua. You know, it's the first time we've ever had a collaborative wine with our logo on it, and it's just terrific, terrific wine. And it 'tis the season, whether you're gift-giving to somebody else or gift-giving to yourself. Because you got your own holiday traditions. These wines pair terrifically. This one with a pheasant dish, and we will be back next week with our second dish, the quail in red wine and mushroom sauce, as our second snackable Hunter's Table podcast. Until then, thank you to Ryan Sparks for putting this recipe together, and I'm Bob St. Pierre reminding you to always follow the dawn. Something good will rise. Thanks for listening, folks.